never said this out loud to anybody. But all summer, every day that I woke up for the last at least 4 months, the thought that I was going to die would smack me right in the face. I say the enemy because that's where it comes from. The enemy would tell me every day, several times a day, that my season was over. Tell me I'm not going to see my grandbabies grow. He would tell me that ministry for me was finished. He would try to convince me to make preparations. Not make preparations spiritual, but you know what I'm talking about. So bring all of these things and all of these details and all of the situations that I better make sure that everything is in place so that I wouldn't leave my family. Then I started having physical symptoms that were pretty serious. And he said, see, it's coming. It's coming. I shared with my immediate family some of the physical symptoms that was happening. They kept saying, you need to go to the doctor. But I refused. Not that I'm against doctors, but I thought, you know what? I'm not even going to entertain the idea. So what? Not everybody understands your victory. Not everybody's going to understand your shout. Not everybody's going to understand your joy. But when Brother Dave Michael was preaching last night, God stopped and interrupted right in the message, and he began to say, you're going to live. The Lord began to say over and over and over and over, you're going to live. You're going to live. It's not over. And I'll tell you what, amen, nobody else may not have received it, but I couldn't stand there any longer. I had to just walk across up here and give the Lord praise, because I will live and not die and declare the glories of the Lord. So that's why when we begin to sing, hallelujah, your spirit lives within me. I will walk in your peace. That's my victory. That's my victory. That's my victory. That's my victory. And I'm not ashamed of my shout. I'm not ashamed. So I bless him tonight, because his spirit lives. And so do I. Come on, son. Go ahead and give the Lord a shout. I'm trying to restrain myself, but I'm telling you what. I can listen. Listen, 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 listen. Breakthrough is not, amen, the next miracle or the next victory. You know what breakthrough is? Just taking the next step. When you take the next step, come on, you say, yes, Lord. I receive every victory, every miracle. I walk in obedience. When I don't feel it, I take another step. When I don't look out, I take another step. When I don't understand it, I'll take another step. When it don't seem like it's there, I'll take another step. Every first step is the next step to your breakthrough. you slap your neighbor. Just give your neighbor a high five, tap them, hallelujah, hallelujah, and tell them, greater, come on, is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If you just shake it off under this anointing that is in this place right now, you can get your breakthrough. You can get freedom. Oh, I feel it.
Freedom!
Did Ezekiel say to God, God said, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, you know, God. Then God said, I need you to do something. Ezekiel, I need you to prophesy. I need you to prophesy. I need you to prophesy.
Service. Untouched.
you to think that Jesus is untouchable for you tonight. But he ain't untouchable. He's ready for you to touch him. And he'll touch you. Come on. Hallelujah. Put your hands together one more time. We normally take offering right now. Hallelujah. And I just want us to go right into worship, continue worshiping. Is that all right? The evangelist is going to preach here and obey the Lord. I know he'll obey the Lord. I don't have any concerns about that. But if you still got some more worship in you tonight, come on. Let's just worship him.
God shows up, he does not need man's approval on how he moves. He does not need to know how I desire nor what I want. But I'm thankful that we serve a God that when he moves, he says, I'll shake up religion and I'll shake up your traditions. sat really with me. I'll give an altar call for the end. I'll give one in the middle, and I'll do another one at the end. I'm telling you, I thank for tonight. God, for his power to lie and speech. May you be seated. Thank you. And if you can find your way back to your seat, if you want to stay up here on the altar, you can. You ain't going to bother me. And I honor the Lord for his power divine tonight. I'm telling you, we surely thank God for what he's been doing. Amen. Throughout this week, unto a people that has an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord says unto a church. And we clap our hands one more time. This gospel tent for your men of God and for your first lady. Come on, clap your hands together. Pastor Jennifer. First lady Louise, come on, clap your hands right there one more time. I understand that behind him, a good man of God, is also a good woman that pushes him. And I'm thankful, amen, that I don't just know your leaders, but I'm thankful. Amen. That who they are in here is who they are outside of the four walls of the church. I'm thankful unto the Lord. Amen. For your leadership and all of you, my Father's children. Amen. Can we clap our hands together? Amen. For this praise team. These musicians, come on, clap your hands unto the Lord. Marcus Ministries, come on, clap your hands together. Man, there's great food back there and great concessions. I walked by and I seen a few of them hats and they look pretty dope, so I'm going to have to check them out after service tonight. Amen. I'm thankful unto the Lord. Amen. For all that God, amen, is doing underneath this tent. All the leaders, all the pastors in your respective places, can you stand all across this house, all the pastors and ministers and leaders? Amen. Evangelists and teachers, can we clap our hands together? Amen. For all of them tonight. You're not clapping out enough for me, so can we clap our hands together? Amen. For all the pastors, all the evangelists, teachers, prophets, evangelists. And we honor the Lord for you tonight. If time would permit itself, I would tell each and every one of you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Amen. For paving the way for young whippersnappers, myself, to travel this country. To preach a word of holiness and righteousness, not with my opinion or what I think, but by and through the lens and the oracles of the Word of God that would set the captive free. And I'm thankful tonight we don't just have a people that preach, but we have a body that unites itself together. Amen. To see revival hit our cities. And to see revival in our nation. I'm so thankful unto the Lord for all of you. Amen. I honor the Lord tonight. Amen. For my wife, two baby girls, baby, just stand up and let the people see how fine you are. Amen. We honor the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, after all this time, she walks in the ring, she still makes my knees shake together. Amen. My liver quiver, my bladder splatter, y'all ain't talking to me. Amen. Come on, somebody. I see it's fitting now that it's fall. She's still the spice to my pumpkin. Come on. Hallelujah to God. And if you're having a bad day, just look at my two baby girls, and I promise they'll give you a big smile real quick. And I honor the Lord for my family that travels this country with me. Amen. Reaching the lost. And going after the harvest. How many is thankful for what God's been doing? Amen. Amen. But come on, clap your hands like you believe us. How many is thankful for what God has been doing this week? I'm telling you, I'm thankful to the Lord for what he has been speaking each and every night to individuals and to the corporate body as a whole. And I believe tonight, we have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. I believe he's going to talk to us. Amen. Grab the Bibles quickly and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew 13, verse 24. If you could stand for the reading and the reverence of God's Word, the Gospel of Matthew 13, verse 24. Gospel of Matthew 13, verse 24. While you're navigating that, I'm thankful unto the Lord. Man, for the lives that he has radically shifted, I believe tonight. I've been tasked with an assignment to preach you into another element in his glory and power. I believe the Lord has spoken to me. I believe tonight we can tap into the deeper depths of what he desires. Matthew 13, verse 24. When you have it, shout Jesus.
Jesus!
The Bible now gave us this intelligence and said, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. Servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together unto the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, and gather the wheat into my barn. Set your Bibles down, set your devices down, lift your hands and lift your voice one more time. Open your mouth and pray. Father, Savior, Healer, God. Before we ask you for anything, we thank you for everything. We thank you for that of the gift of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for your power divine. I pray tonight, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, thy Redeemer and the Lord. I pray tonight that miracles, signs, and wonders bust loose underneath this gospel tent. Lord, I pray what I pray every time, preach me Jesus. Till I can't stand and preach no more, preach me till yokes are destroyed. Preach me till your power is manifested and your glory is edified. We never failed to give you this praise, this glory, and this honor in the majestic, matchless, unpredictable name of Jesus. The Church of the Living God can shout amen.
Amen.
And amen. Clap your hands together as you can receive it in the house of the Lord tonight. If I could preach to you for a few moments, if the Holy Ghost would anoint me, I feel as if tonight would be fitting to stay on theme that here's my title, the best is yet to come. But if I could attach a subtopic, if you will, I want to leave you with this thought, still I shall rise. Lean over to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the best is yet to come. Still, I shall rise. I'm talking to their own neighbor, smack somebody else till you smack their dentures out and say, neighbor, the best is yet to come. Still, I shall rise. My brothers and my sisters, dearly beloved, I propose to you that healthy growth is possible even in detrimental situations. According to our text, we learn that the power of producing and reproducing healthy is being properly rooted. Deeply rooted things can grow in almost any
environment. My brothers and sisters, we come to the concluded matter of a place that some of us might have heard of, and many of you it's foreign to, a place called the Vineyards of Lanzarote. It is an island located in Canary Island, Spain. It is known for its harsh volcanic environment, which has little rainfall and rugged landscape. Despite the seemingly unfavorable conditions, the island has become famous for its unique and successful approach to what we would call Vedic culture, which is the science of producing grapes for wine. The local farmers have developed a remarkable method of cultivating what many would call enrado, which is when they dig small pits or create small holes, putting depressions in the volcanic ash to plant grapevines in them. The ash is known as pincan. It helps to retain moisture from the night air, providing essential hydration to the plants. Additionally, the ash protects the vines from the wind and heat. This ingenious method not only allows the vines to flourish, but it also imparts a distinctive flavor to the wine, which results in being highly prized in local and national areas. The success of this vineyard is a testament to the human power and strength of a good seed. It shows resilience to something that is rooted so deep that even in detrimental environments, nothing can stop the savor of what's been planted within. Even in the most challenging conditions, growth and prosperity is still possible. And I come to stop right here before I get carried away and build my text tonight, that you can be in volcanic areas with no water, no fresh wind, but when you've been rooted deep, not even the heat of your condition can stop your growth. You must understand, my brothers and my sisters, that the enemy hates anything that is growing successfully. The enemy hates churches that grow. The enemy hates organizations that grow. The enemy hates businesses that grow. The enemy hates families that grow. The enemy hates ministries that grow. The enemy will sow whatever kind of seed of distraction or discord so that he can hinder healthy, godly growth within. Just look at your neighbor for the second time and say, neighbor, the best is yet to come. Still, I shall rise. My brothers and sisters, ministries are being distracted all across America by the likes of Jezebels and the rise of sinful behaviors. Marriages are being distracted by ungodly influences that are more carnal than spiritual. Businesses are distracted by competitions that are robbing your strategies and creativity. Good roots and weeds are distracted by weeds that are sown to bring distraction and discord. How many of you have been distracted by ungodly church relationships? It doesn't even have to be your boo, if you will, or your boy or your girl. No, I'm talking about relationships that doesn't pull you closer to the throne, but in fact distracts you from the things that God requires for you to do next. I'm talking about if we could consider the circles that are around us that profess to know God on Sunday but fail to display Christ and his nature on Monday. If one's display of Christ isn't in right alignment to the word of God, they can easily become a distraction to your progress in the things that God has called for you to do. You have to understand that here's the text. How do I know that I am in right alignment with what God wants me to do. Well, my brothers and sisters, I understand and know my assignment and my way in God, because you understand that either you are a wheat or you're a weed. And as we begin to look at the text, we find that it is speaking against the weeds. And as we look at the text, we find it speaking against the demonic plot that is against pure, good, rooted seed. You must understand that the Gospel of Matthew is written to reveal Jesus as King to the Jews. As you begin to dig a little deeper in the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter, you'll find that this chapter is speaking to the power of the wisdom of the kingdom seed, or a kingdom sower. I want you to ask your neighbor, are you a kingdom seed, or are you a kingdom sower? Because as we begin to walk this pericope in a deeper revelation, you'll discover that the weeds among the wheat become a bad situation to a good thing. Weeds become a distraction or a derail, if you will, of a bad encounter that God has anointed to produce, to grow. The text is showing us that the battle of the pure and healthy fighting amongst the destructive. The whole text, Jesus is speaking parabolically, speaking in parables, if you will. Jesus says something different about parables than most church folk preach and even people believe. Because most church folk believe that when he talks in parables, he's writing to make the ungodly have a better understanding of what Jesus is saying with a clear interpretation. But can I tell you, Jesus says that the parable is written to hide understanding from the ungodly, to really speak to those who have a spiritual eye and a kingdom awareness. It's almost as if the parable speaks in spiritual code for those who have a spiritual relationship with God to have a better understanding. What are you saying? I'm trying to tell you that we have looked at the parables the wrong connotation, because in this text, Jesus says, having ears, but they cannot hear, having eyes, but they cannot see. What Jesus was suggesting is everyone sitting up in church that has ears, they can't hear the deeper things of God. What he's saying is those that have eyes are sitting up looking around while I'm looking at you and you're looking at me. You don't really have an eye to see the things of God, because you become so distracted and enamored by everything around that you have lost sight of what God was calling you to do. Everyone who has eyes cannot see unless they're locked up into the inner chambers of my presence. This is the heartbeat of the whole Bible, because the scripture would declare the Son, I speak spiritual things and mysteries. Unless you have a relationship with me, you cannot have clear revelation of who I am through the mysteries I present unto you. Can I tell you, Jesus, he cannot necessarily be preached to the world, but Jesus must be revealed to the world. It's only to those who have the revelation of who he is that we can walk in the clarity of what God desires. I know some of you are saying, make it make more sense. Let's walk this Bible tonight, because if you begin to read, he begins to write a letter. And the Bible said he wrote a letter to the seven churches of Asia Minor. And I like it here, because the Bible says he doesn't end the letters with sincerely. He doesn't end the letters to the churches of Asia Minor, come on, with my condolences, or dearly beloved. No, you know what he ends the letters with. Can I preach this Bible tonight? He ends the letters of Asia Minor with this: he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Tell you that if we're ever gonna tap in, come on, to the message yet to come, we have to make sure that our ears are intact, that our eyes are intact, that our gaze is focused on the things of God, so that we can understand that God has given us the ability to walk not only in the mysteries of him, but to walk in the counsel of him. Here's Jesus, he's speaking about this seed sowing. He's really speaking in what some would understand to be a mystery. The whole text is talking about the wisdom of sowing seed. He said, behold, I sowed seed. Some seed fell on good ground. When it fell on the ground, the fowls of the air came to devour it. Some seed fell upon stony ground. And when it fell on stony places, it tried to spring up because it didn't have any depth in the ground. The sun came to dry up the growth because the seed wasn't deeply rooted. Some seed couldn't grow because it fell upon thorns and thistles. As soon as it tried to spring up, the thorns and the thistles begin to choke the progression of this good seed. Others fell on good ground, and those that did proceed and produce 30, 60, and 90-fold. That's how the kingdom of God is. In this case, it's the word of God. Some of you can't receive because you're too distracted by the lights. Come on, of social media and influences that are trying to take the place of God. Come on, too distracted by the drama and the nature of things that God never intended. Don't allow distractions to hinder the word of God that's intended to get deeply rooted on the inside of you, that God wants to reproduce in a greater measure. I need you to just push your neighbor for the first time tonight and say, neighbor, you gotta get out of that distraction. It's not of God. It's the will of God for you to see the best that is yet to come. It's the will of God for you to see that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. My brothers and sisters, the text, it suggests that you know that you are the weak when you're fighting against all of the weeds. The text is trying to show us the powerful contrast between the weed and the weeds. The text would say that the tear have now come, but you have to understand, I like it here because the Bible said when this tear begin to rise with the harvest. He said, I know some of you, you want to disconnect yourself from the tear that's going around you. But I like it because Jesus said, I don't want you to remove yourself from the tear. I don't even want you to remove the tear from you. He said, give it time. And what's in you is going to outgrow it. And I come to encourage somebody. You need to know that sometimes God's not going to pull you out of a situation. Come on, because you want the easy way out. Sometimes God just wants you to know, if you give it time, what I place within you, it can outgrow everything around you. If you give it time, I am a God that can perform miracles, signs and wonders. I'm there to shake your neighbor's hand, but you're going to shake it off and say, neighbor, just give it time. Give it time. I know it's not answered like you wanted him to. I know it's not showed up like you wanted him to. I know you wanted a confirmation, but I come to tell you your confirmation. Give it time and watch God work it out. Give it time and watch God show you that what I place within, it cannot be in a place of detrimental. If I am a God that allows what's within you to outgrow what's around you, you have to understand many. Have to understand that many common weeds, they eat the grass. They're designed to remain hidden in times of destruction. I'm not saying I know the best or the most, if you will, about planting seed. But for some of you gardeners in here, can you wave your hands at me like you just don't care? And come your boy preach tonight, because there's something that you don't like to see get in your garden there. It's called a dandelion. Because them dandelions, come on, it's not, come on, that they take everything away. No, they wait till the right time, come on, to grow weed. What's being reproduced, and you have to understand, I've done research today on the dandelion, and I realize this, the dandelion takes the same resources, come on, that your plant takes. So what I'm telling you is there's sometimes you have to uproot what's been planted around so that you can understand the dandelion hasn't been sent, come on, to kill. No, the dandelion's been sent to take your nutrients hands. And I come to tell you on this last night of camping that you've got to be so rooted and deep in God that nothing can steal your resource of prayer and fasting and seeking God. I know we've had good camping. I know we've been shouting and rolling in the floor and running and dancing. But I come to tell you when camp meeting's over and when nobody's around, there's gonna be some stuff that doesn't want to necessarily kill you. It just wants to take your resources. There's gonna be some people that hell uses that come against your mind and get you frustrated, get you flustered, get you aggravated, and get you mad. Not because they've been sent to kill you, but because they've been sent to take your resources. But I wonder tonight, do I got 13 and a half of you that will throw your hands up and say, God, I refuse for the resources that you've given me to take all a beating from things that want to destroy what's going to make me who I am. That's why the text declared that the master went out to sow the seed and the enemy went out, come on, that evening to sow tares. The reason why you couldn't see the weed sown among the wheat, it's because you don't normally see the weeds until the wheat begins to grow. Come on, the job is to stay hidden to the right place. But you have to understand, it's the moment that I realize that my momentum is under attack when I've been doing everything I know to do right and I still gotta fight warfare. It's my momentum that is under attack when I've been witnessing, when I've been reaching co-workers, when I've been praying for family members, and the enemy comes and gets my mind and tries to convince me that everything that I'm doing is going in vain. Weeds are such a distraction that they'll grab onto the resources before the wheat can get what it needs to survive. You have to understand that weeds try to outshine the wheat. Come on, they attempt to make themselves something that they're really not. Weeds are selfish. Weeds are self-centered. Weeds like attention. Weeds are just like the dandelion flower. They look healthy, but they're toxic. Come on, I'm trying to tell you, not because I understand what healthy looks, but I'm telling you because it's easy to be manipulated by what looks good on the outside. That has been assigned to break your mandate down into categories of losing yourself. You really want to know? Come on, what weeds are. Come on, look for the ones that can't work with anybody without always getting in an argument or a fuss about something. Look for the one that is cynical, always thinking somebody's against them, somebody's after them. You really want to know what the weeds are? Look for the one that always has to be the loudest in the room and desires always to bring attention to them instead of God. Come on, you want to see weeds? Look for the one. Come on, that always allows their insecurities to try them. That they say, I shouldn't have put it on Facebook, but instead you've done it anyway because you was more concerned about proving your point than getting in a posture of deliverance. Can I tell you tonight, if we really want to see the best that is yet to come, we have to get rid of foolish behavior and say, God, it's not about everybody else, but it's about, oh, I know you thought this was revival, and we can work fingers at everybody else, but I come to tell you, we've got to learn to deal with ourselves before God can deal with others, because a lot of times we become so, come on, sophisticated, come on the things of everybody else's junk, while our own is caving in. But I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you'll try to inspect everybody else's house, and their spiritual termites eating up your walls. You don't got anointing no more. You don't have desire to call. Push your neighbors and neighbor. Do you got termites on your wall? Do you got termites inside of your building? Come on, that's why this salvation, he says, come on, work out your own soul and salvation. And you'll have my kind of church with fear and trembling. You know what he's saying. You've got to worry about yourself. Somebody holler, cut them weeds down. Cut them weeds down. Ah, can I preach a little bit? Weeds, they want to be displayed, but weeds don't like to be discipled. Weeds, they want to be revealed to the world. They reveal that everybody is God's greatest, but they have no rebuke. Weeds, they want to be encouraged, but not entreated. Weeds, they want to be congratulated, but not corrected. Weeds, they want prophecy, but they don't want responsibility. Weeds, oh, y'all ain't going to have my kind of church tonight. I'm trying to tell you, that's exactly how weeds happen in our churches. We want the benefits, but don't want the correction and the responsibility of God. You're called to rise above the weeds. Ask your neighbor, are you a weed or are you a weed? Great thing about wheat and weeds is they both have a focus and a purpose. Wheat doesn't plan to become weed, and wheat doesn't plan to become wheat. They grow in the same area for different purposes. You know you're stable wheat when you refuse to allow weeds to bring about a hindrance. This is why the wheat must take ownership. Due to the majority of the time that weeds would take a beautiful situation and turn it into a mess because the wheat wasn't strong enough to rise above the ashes. But you have to declare, not in here. Whatever you do, don't allow the weeds to take your place in God. I don't care how carnal they are. I don't care how negative they are. I don't care how sinful they are. I don't care how much mess, come on, that they're going in. Come on, I don't care where they are trying to drive you. Come on, I come to declare, come on, that God, it's a God that'll keep them, because I'm standing not for popularity. I'm standing not for approval. I'm standing because I know who I am and what I'm supposed to be. I just need to know, come on, some wheat, come on, to stand up in this tabernacle tonight and declare, I still shall rise, because I understand that the best is yet to come. I know I'm a wheat. Come on, I'm just looking for a few of you. Do you know that you still shall rise? Done to look at the text, because the text declares that the sower went out into the vineyard and sowed seed. At night the adversary came. And what I like about the text is Jesus, he didn't just give the parable, but a couple verses down, he gives the understanding of the parable. Really what the text is saying is that Jesus is the sower. The word is the seed. Come on here. And the seed that produces us as we become the wheat of it. Satan is the one that goes out and creates the weeds of destruction. And the Bible declares that when the wheat is picked, the wheat is placed in the barn, which represents heaven, and the tare is thrown into the fire, which is the fire, and that represents hell. I don't have time to deal with that tonight, but can I tell you that hell is real? Hell is a place. If you don't live right, you're going to hell. If you don't love your neighbor, you're going to hell. Come on. If you got hate in your heart, you're going to hell. No, don't talk to me. I'm trying to tell you, I don't care how good you dress it up. I don't care how well you present it. If there's things in your heart that's not like God, you'll go to hell. If you only tolerate folk that come to your church because that's the Christian thing to do, baby, I got one word for you. Hell. Come on. Because God never called you to tolerate folk. No, God called you to love them to a place of repentance and salvation. I'm trying to tell you, God is not looking for your opinion. God is looking for a people that will walk in compassion and the counsel of his word. Fire. And if you rebel against the word of God, Come on, give them a split hell wide open. Jesus said the enemy is going out to sow weeds. Or in other words, the enemy is going out to sow tares. The enemy brings distractions. God has high hopes for the wheat. The Lord gives a plan of correction. The Bible records those that are working for the master. Run back to the master and question. I thought you sowed good seed yesterday. He said, I did sow good seed. They responded, well, why are the weeds growing then? They said, master, do you want us to go back and pluck them out? And the master says, no, let the wheat and the tare grow together. If you want to distract your distraction, you got to keep letting your wheat grow with the weeds. Can I talk right here for a moment, and you not get mad at me? We're now living in a cancel culture. Come on, we cancel everybody. Come on, you were supposed to be mad at them 2 weeks ago. So why are you still on their Facebook page seeing what they post? Come on, you were supposed to not like who they was. Come on, but yet you stay trying to get in their Kool-Aid. Trying to tell you, we now live that if they do what's wrong, we talk them. Come on, we cancel them. We don't have nothing to do with them. But what if I told you that's false theology? No, I'm telling you, the Bible says, come on, to love them that curse you. Come on, oh yes. How in the world are they going to know to do right if I always cancel them? Come on. The only hope that they have to come into Christ. And if you get your feelings on your sleeve, and you get mad, and you kind of get angry about everything they say and do, then you'll never win them. But I'm telling you, the gospel is about long-suffering. All right, you still don't believe me? How many times has God been long-suffering with you, and you didn't deserve it? How many times has God been forgiven to you, and you didn't deserve it? This old boy didn't deserve half the names that God gave me, but here I am, because God is a God that sees my potential. But come on, over every possibility that is trying to destroy me, the seed of the wheat has already had to survive so much to keep rooted. When the seed gets deeply rooted, nothing can stop its process to grow. Jesus was speaking the whole text about the seed getting rooted. And it was here that the sower, he went to sow. Some seed fell, come on ground where there was no soil, causing it to spring up quickly. When the sun rose up, they were scorched. Since they had no root, they withered away. But their seed fell upon thorns and thistles. They grew, and as they grew, they were choked up. Do you see what the seed has to go through tonight just to get rooted and survive? I had to survive so much just to get rooted. I had to survive being eaten by birds. I had to survive falling on stony ground. I had to survive being scorched by the fires of the people that wanted to see me fall and stay down. I had to survive by being choked by people that wanted to use scripture as a weapon rather than a tool to uplift me and make me better. Come on here. I had to survive. Come on, coming to church and feeling how the atmosphere became awkward because you knew they were talking about you. Can I tell you what Greg Brady said? Granny said it like this, Pastor Dean. A dog that'll bring a bone to be a dog that'll carry your bone. So I'm trying to tell you, you're getting so tore up over folk that are coming against your wheat. But you gotta understand, baby, they were never sent come on to uproot your wheat. No, they were sent to keep you entangled in the weeds. And you have to understand, there's some battles I'm going to choose my peace, and I'm not even going to respond. There's certain things that want to get me discombobulated in my mind. That's why some of you, come on, the Holy Ghost, trying to pull you out of your seat. Even today, you were talking about how you were going through. Today's been a struggle. Today, the enemy's been fighting my mind. But I got a question for you.
need to praise anyway. Come on, get to lift your hands anyway. Get you a name reserved. Because you wanted God to touch you, but you didn't want to touch him. I'm trying to tell you that we're going to see, come on, the harvest in our wheat. Sometimes we have to move when we don't feel it. Sometimes we have to open our mouth when we don't feel it. Because I understand when I'm rooted deep enough, what I went through, it's not going to determine how I worship. What I had to face even today, it's not going to determine. Hell's been against my mind. Hell's been fighting my body. But here I am on a Friday night to make my mind up. Now I've got roots in the ground. I'll survive this. I'll survive the storm. I'll survive the setback. I'll survive the hell. I'll survive the torment. I'll survive it because I know I still shall rise because the best is yet to come.
Come to the music softly. We understand the fight here. But now, after you survive, he said, now I want to show you the parable that now that I have sowed this seed, he said, this seed, it now shall rise. And after this seed rises, you'll see my hand manifest in the midst of the weeds. Can I tell somebody tonight? They thought I was going to quit church a long time ago, but I still rose. They thought I was going to quit the choir. There's some of you said, I'm done singing. I'm done coming to church. Come on, and the enemy wanted to shut your mouth up. The enemy wanted to get you to stop singing. But I just dare somebody throw your hands up and say, la 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 la. Because I made my mind up. I am holy to make my mind up. Still shall rise. They thought I was going to stop preaching, but I'm still going to rise. They thought I was going to stop worshiping, but still I shall rise. Because when God has anointed you to be the wheat, you cannot stay entangled in the weeds.
What it's like, because we understand it's here in the parable. Weeds are defined as distractions.
Right.
Weeds are an eyesore. Weeds will get you so focused on what's growing instead of focusing on what's already been harvested.
Right.
Say it again. I'm talking about distractions of the weeds because they'll get you so focused on what's growing that you don't want, that you fail to realize. I can look at the negative of what's going on around me.
All
right. Or I can look at the positive of what's within me that still survives. The best way to stop the weed from growing with the wheat is to fertilize your grass good enough so that there's no space between healthy seed, watch this, and weed seed. And when the grass grows close enough, the healthy wheat pushes the weed down because you're so close to growth together. If you stay close enough, the weed tries to grow. It won't work. And I thought today, how simple is the gospel, but we've overcomplicated. Because I thought today, we preached it and we shouted about it. We've ran over it. One could put 1,000. But two can put what? 10,000. Because when we stay linked together, nothing can stop healthy, godly growth when the best is yet to come. You from growing? What's distracting you from seeing the best that is yet to come? Because truth be told, each and every one of us can become so distracted that we fail to realize that there have been doors that have been opened that need to be shut again. I said, God, tonight I want to come in there and I want to preach us till we shout, till we're on the floor and the Holy Ghost stopped me. And he said, no, Dave, I know. He said, you missed it. He said, what's the point of shouting? And we still have distractions that are stopping us from rising above. There's some of us that have been in church for so long and we've still not mastered how to rise above when folk talk to us mean. Come on. There's some of, we have been in church, we have talked in tongues, come on, more than anybody, come on, in English. But you still get offended easily over everything. And the Lord is saying, that's a distraction that you need to get rid of if you are going to see good, healthy growth. I don't know about you tonight, but I refuse to settle for a move of God that portrays as big, in reality it's only swelling, because it's not good, healthy, godly growth. Can I tell you what good, healthy, godly growth does? It pushes you to stay even when your flesh wants an easy way out. Because I've seen it. There's some of you elders in here. You've been in this thing longer than I've been alive. You can testify. Sometimes it's easier to disconnect and run out of fear than to stay planted and fight for your seed that you planted. Because planting seed isn't always easy. Try giving Bible studies and try, come on, talking to family members and co-workers that are lost without God. Come on, if you've ever been, come on, a genuine kingdom sower, you can attest, it gets frustrating. Everything you say, they got something to say back on why you're wrong. No matter how hard you try to win them, no matter how hard you try to get them to see what you see, I just don't think it takes all that. And it becomes frustrating, because frustration is the root of a weed that wants to distract. That's why we can't play games in His presence, because I believe we take it for granted. It's in His presence. We can worship freely. We can lift our hands freely. And we can give Him what we owe Him. But if we're not careful, watch this. God will allow you to walk through the harvest field distracted and come out with nothing. I don't know about you, church, but I don't want to be there to the point that God allows me to see everybody else get blessed. God allows me to see everybody else get breakthrough. Come on, God allows me, come on, to see everybody else get miracles. But by the time it's over and said and done, I'm walking out of the same harvest field with the same ability, empty-handed. Because I was so concerned in rebuking and trying to uproot the weeds. God was saying, you're rebuking the wrong thing. You're rebuking the weeds. And there's some things within you that needs to be rebuked. I need to be transparent right here tonight. I believe God's going to do an inner healing tonight. A year and a half ago was fighting warfare just like any Christian does. And as I was fighting this warfare, I was praying hellfire and brimstone come down on this situation. I'm tired of fighting. I'm done battling it. And the Holy Ghost, Brother Weezer, rebuked me. He said, you're praying for hellfire and brimstone to come down on the circumstance. He said, but what about your ability that when I bring you out of that circumstance, not to dwell on it? After I've already delivered you. Yeah, sometimes God has already brought us out, but we can't help but to keep dwelling on it because it seems as, well, I just need peace in my mind. Well, how long have you been dwelling on it after he brought you out of it? I just need God to touch. Well, how long have you been dwelling on it after he stayed away from you? It is easy, come on, to rebuke the snare of the fowler. Come on, but can you shake yourself out of dwelling on the things that God has freed you from? I believe the Spirit of the Lord wants us to get a true desire to learn how to rise with the tear, so that we cannot be moved. Can I go out on a limb and say this? God didn't save you to be a bubble Christian. Come on, them folk to walk around in the hazard mask and come on, can't nobody touch you, can't nobody say nothing around you. Come on, everything bothers you and everything. Come on. Can I tell you, when God saved you, gave you the Holy Ghost, he saved you and gave you the Holy Ghost to be able to withstand. Not to conform, but to withstand. And can I tell you, come on, it's not going to get any better. The world's going to get worse. So stop trying to ask God, come on, I need you to do something right. No, God called you to be able to go into them workplaces. Come on, where they're cussing like a dog. Holy Ghost just can't be around that. Well, your Holy Ghost ain't strong enough then, and you need to get it again. Come on, because God never called you to isolate yourself. No, God called you to be the difference. I know some of y'all mad at me now. I see some of y'all talking. Can I tell you? Come on, if your Holy Ghost can't keep you, then maybe you need to get rid of Casper the Friendly Ghost. Or get the genuine Holy Ghost. Keep you in the anointing. Come on. Yeah.
Can I be real tonight? I'm tired of looking at everybody that looks just like me. What did he say? I'll say it again. I'm tired of looking at everybody that looks just like me. I know some of you challenging me. Some are coming. I'm gonna come with it tonight. You have to understand, when we are kingdom, God has not called us, come on, to only go to them. Come on, that are just like us, that look like us, smell like us. No, when God has called us to be kingdom, He's called us, watch, to be in the middle of the tear. To let them know you can still grow. You can still see revival. You can still see miracles in the midst of death. What if I told you that you've been the one hindering revival that God's been wanting to send? Because when revival comes, it doesn't come in the package you want it to. What if I told you, come on, you've been the one hindering revival for your family. Because when God starts dealing with them, come on, y'all ain't going to talk to me. I might as well be real tonight. Come on, and they went from smoking 15 packs a day. Come on, they're going down to 10. You still got something to say. Well, you still smile. Come on, you got to understand it's a process. Come on, you going to talk to me tonight? Come on, it's a process. Come on, sanctification. It's a process. You've been so contentious in your spirit. It's been foul and stinky. That's why nobody wants to be around you. It's not because you're holier than thou. It's because you have become so contentious. Know that the gospel is only presented the way you want it to be. But I'm telling you, you know what I say. I know you've been smoking all day long. Come on. You smoke a cigarette if you leave here tonight. But keep on coming. Because by the time you get a hold of it.
Together.
as we were the dysfunctions that they had.
Come on.
What kind of revival would we see? If we put the same energy into pushing people that we do into finding out everything they've done. What would revival look like? Shout grow. That's our assignment. I'm telling you, God wants to change the motto. Each one. Reach one. Because when I reach you, that's a sign of growth. And when you reach him, that's a sign of growth. And then when that one reaches this one, that's a sign of growth. I'm telling you, hell cannot stand a people that can grow even in unfavorable situations. I talked to you tonight. Hell can't stand me, Brother Gordon. Because I was raised. But I had a father to raise me and care for me the way I needed. But you know what I've done? I made my mind up. I'm going to be for my children. But I can. And you know why I can't stand the people that continues to grow? Because hell doesn't like when there's a remnant that can still rise and not make excuses. Refuse to make excuses on why revival can't happen with me. I refuse to make excuses on why revival can't happen within me. I refuse to make excuses on why revival can't hit. Why can't it hit your family? Well, preacher, I don't got the right last name, neither did I. Well, preacher, I don't got a preacher in my face, neither did I. Come on, you gotta stop making excuses. If it starts with me, I'm gonna grow. If it starts with me, I'm gonna see revival. If it starts with me, I'm gonna see a move of God. Because at the end of the day, I gotta be the wind that rises with the tear and lets the enemy know I still dare. To really look at them in their eyes and ask, what is stopping you from tapping in to the deeper things of God? What is it that's stopping you? What's hindering you? Because he said it like this, you did run well. But tell me who did hinder you? We can either allow the weeds to hinder us, or we can look at the weeds and say, I take that as a challenge. I'm going to win everybody I can. Some of you right now need to think about some co-workers you got that are lost without God. You need to think about some family members tonight that are lost without God. And you need to say, devil, I don't see it as demise. No, I see it as a challenge, baby. Come on. Because I don't let them know. I'm not going to get out of here. I'm not going to stop witnessing to them. I'm not going to stop giving them up for something. I'm not going to stop praying for them. I'm not going to stop preaching for them. You know what? They might have told me no by some of the times. Come on, but the moment you stop asking them to come to church, what if I told you that 501 times will be the time they say, you know what? I'm going to give your church a try. I'm going to give your God a try. I'm telling you, don't you ever stop when God's anointed you to grow with the tear.
think about five people right now that's in your phone. Preacher, they're going to say no, so what? Ask them to come to church with you someday. I'm telling you, when we realize what this parable is really saying, we understand the parable is saying it's not the will of God for you to disconnect yourself from the world. It's not the will of God for you to isolate yourself from the world. No, it's the will of God for the world to grow with you and for the world to see what's within you. You should waver from the worlds around you. I said you shouldn't waver when the world's around you. Back in Mississippi, we were in revival there, and I had the opportunity that Friday to go into that federal penitentiary. And as they began to pile in there before service started, they were talking and they were fellowshipping, and there was one man that come up to me and said, "Brother Knowles, you must be the preacher." And I said, "Well, I believe I'm I, unless there's another Knowles that I'm not aware of." And here's what he said, and it hit me. He said, "I'm in here serving 38 to life." And he said, "It wasn't until I came to services just like this with radical Pentecostals that looked mad and preached hard and spit like you." "That I realized that I was loved." And I said, "Sir, do tell. I'm interested in what you're saying here." He said, "Before I got locked up," he said, "I'd be roaming the streets, and I would see people pass me that I knew went to church. And they would say nothing. Learn how to rest in knowing souls are in the balance. But we give more attention to the Browns losing." I need you to talk to, don't you turn out on me. How have we lost sight? Come on. Of people right up in our cities that are laying up in a corner with a needle in their arm, not knowing their identity, not knowing who they are. Come on, God forbid some of us got family members tonight. Come on, they don't know where they are. They're laying in their own vomit tonight. Come on, hell's convinced them. Come on, to take another dose. Take another shot. Come on. And here we are. We're bickering. Come on. Well, I wish they would have sang my song tonight. I wish. Come on, something else would have done. God, I'm telling you, how in God's name, come on, have we learned to live with the unrest of souls that are lost without God while everything else means more to us? Can I tell you, before I'm a preacher,
rapture.
This election, she better bet your boots, I better be a soul winner.
Come on.
Before I'm a national evangelist, you better bet, brother, but I better be a soul winner. Come on. Before, come on, you're a singer. Before, come on, you're a lay member. Before you're an elder, you better be a soul winner. Preacher, that's basic. That's exactly right. It's the simplicity of the gospel. When's the last time? Come on, your Holy Ghost said, come on, I'm going to send you into Walmart. Come on, there's going to be somebody on the verge of a nervous breakdown. But you're so in tune with the Holy Ghost that you know what they got on. You know what aisle they're in. And you just let them know God loves you. He cares for you. He, come on, I'm not telling you got to preach a sermon every day. I'm not telling you, come on, you got to walk in Kroger in the twin containers and the maters. Come on, with 20 pages of notes. No, I'm telling you, when you get in tune with the Spirit, you'll understand. Come on, sensitivity to the things of God. It's me knowing that there's somebody around me that is hurting, that is in need of revival in their life. He said, we have the best talent we've ever had. 2024. Come on, we have the best singers. We have the best musicians. Come on. Come on, we have the best of everything we've ever had in the church, in the body of Christ. But the Holy Ghost moment, Dean, he spoke to me and he said, they might help, but there's a generation. They have all those things, but they're lacking sensitivity to my Spirit. Come on! We have the best of everything! What if you was the last voice somebody was going to hear? Or hell tried to tell them to take their life. What if you were the last voice that we're going to hear? Before hell tried to tell them their life was over. God didn't love them anymore. I'm telling you, this is real. We are wrestling the spirit of the Antichrist. And if we're not sensitive, we'll become addicted to good music, addicted to the high, addicted to good preaching. Come on, but failing and winning souls. Preaching to them who I am. That's why I love open air revivals and camp meetings like this. Because I'm telling you, Brother Ross, there are thousands of people that have passed this tent this week that might not have ever given it a try, that the sound waves of our praises and our worship have penetrated them. People that have stood, I've watched it with my own eyes, purposely stand outside their car over there. Come on, before entering in. Come on, listening in on what's going on. That's why I'm telling you, if we're not sensitive, come on, we'll be no
Ghost right now. I feel personal encounters. If you're in this house tonight, wounded. Tonight can be your night. But you can give it to the Father. I need some intercession to pray right now. I need some men of God to help me pray. I need some women of God to help me pray right now. There's some of you, truth be told, just say, I'm hanging on my thread. Some of you are walking in fear because you're saying, yeah, camp meeting's been good, but I'm scared to go back to reality. Because when camp meeting's over, I gotta go back to the reality. I can't come to church every night of the week again. I can't draw my strength from the well every night of the week like I've been doing this week. Can I tell you, tonight is the night God wants to give you enough to sustain you, that when camp meeting's over, come on, that you still have the power to lay hands on yourself. You still have an anointing to speak over yourself. You still have the ability, come on, to talk over yourself. When the enemy is fighting and raging, I can still speak life over myself. Lost tonight can be your night. He wants to tell you again. Here's the instruction I heard from the Holy Ghost. I'm seeing tears all across this tabernacle. The instruction I heard from the Holy Ghost is tonight, our prayer needs to simply be this: God, anoint me to grow with the tears. God, anoint me to grow in the dark. God, anoint me to grow in this perverse world. God, anoint me to grow around co-workers. Come on, that make fun of your name. Come on, and talk against what I believe and what I stand for. God, anoint me to be a wheat in the middle of a tear. God, anoint me that when family members come in contact with me again, they can see something within me. And can I tell you? There will always be those that they know what you stand for and know what you believe. They know you don't do certain things anymore. But they'll purposely do them anyway to get your reaction. You have to have so much of the Holy Ghost that you don't react to the response they want to pull out of you. Right now, they're already coming. I want us to find a place to pray, and this is between us and God tonight. God, when camp meeting's over, I want to be the wheat that can rise in the middle of a tear. Come on, get out of your seat. Find this altar. Find a place to pray. Come on, and let's ask the Lord. Come on, let's ask the Lord tonight. Let's ask the Lord to help us tonight. God, I don't want you to remove me. God, I don't want you to isolate me. No, God, I want you to put me right in the middle of what you want to do. Come on, God, I want you to call me. Come on, into a little level in you. Come on, that when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, that I can be a wheat in the middle of a tear. Come on, that I can be a man of God. I can be a woman of God. Come on. Come on with your voice. Find a place to pray. Come on, that's it tonight. Come on, you gotta make your mind up tonight. Come on, God, I want to do what you have required of me to do. I want to say what you've required of me to say. I want to stand in your will.
been so sold out to you, God. Come on. That I will not be moved. But the best is yet to come, because I know that I can still rise in the middle of the struggle. I can still rise in the middle of the depression. I can still rise in the middle of the anxiety. I can still rise in the middle of the affliction. I can still rise, God. Come on, come on. Lift your voice, Zion. Lift your voice. I need some men of God to help me pray. I need some women of God to help me pray. I need somebody right now. Come on, slip out of your seat. Come on, bind together with somebody near you and begin to pray tonight. God, I want to rise in the middle of a tear. I want to rise. I want to be sold out. I want to be called and anointed by you, through you, and for you tonight, God. Come on, that's it. Throw your hands up all across this house. Those of you in your seats, throw your hands in.